You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Its name is Rev One, and this little robot would like to bring you food. A startup in Ann Arbor is testing this autonomous food delivery vehicle. Matthew Johnson Robertson is co-founder and CEO of Refraction AI, the company that makes Rev One. He's also a robotics professor at the University of Michigan. Welcome and tell us just, you know, who or what is Rev One?
Well, thank you so much for having me. We're really excited. Rev One is a delivery vehicle that's designed to bring food to people's homes. So we pick up food from our restaurant partners, and then we drop it off at people's houses. Ultimately, our goal is to make delivery more efficient, greener, and help with congestion in major cities.
Now, describe it to us, because I want to get people to get a good sense of the size and how it operates.
Yeah, so I think one of the first things that people see and are quite surprised about is kind of how big it is. So it's about the same size as a person on a bike. So when you think of delivery robots, you think of the small sidewalk ones, but this comes up almost to my shoulder. So it's about 4.5 feet tall, about 32 inches wide, so a little bit wider than a bike, but about the same as a bike with a person on it, and it weighs around 100 pounds. And so it's designed to travel at the same speed and sort of at the flow of traffic as a bicycle would. So that means it can be along the side of the road where parked cars are, but chugging along anywhere it's safe to ride a bike. So if it's not safe for you to ride a bike there, we would not take our vehicle there.
Okay, so you're using the bike path space as opposed to what we think of as autonomous cars would be out in the car lane. This gives you what, more flexibility and more safety?
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, safety is, I think, one of the biggest issues with autonomous vehicles. And so we're, you know, riding again along the side of the road where a bike would be. But what that allows us to do is go a little bit slower. And so it's safe to go 10 or 12 miles an hour with a bike. It's probably less safe or probably less convenient to go 10 or 12 miles an hour in the middle of the road. And so one of the beautiful things about this is that in the same way that cars can pass bikes, they can pass this vehicle, and even other bikes can pass this vehicle. So we spend a lot of time trying to be good road citizens. But when you go 10 miles an hour, one of the big wins is that you can stop a lot quicker. So we can stop in about 5 feet, which means that ultimately we can make sure that the vehicle is always safe when we're driving it autonomously on the streets.
And I know that you have been making robots since like 2003. And they haven't cracked the commercial everyday life yet, have they?
Right. And I think that's one of the reasons we wanted to build this company. I've been building robots for almost 20 years. And, you know, while we've made some amazing robots and many other people in robotics have done amazing things, you know, I want everybody to be able to have their life touched by a robot and get to interact and hopefully have things made better, safer, and faster with robots in their day-to-day lives.
So does someone need to monitor Rev One at this point, like back at the office, or how is it working?
Again, right now, safety is the number one priority. So we have somebody behind the vehicle on a bicycle with an emergency stop in case anything goes wrong.
Because you're in beta testing, right?
We're in beta testing, yeah. Exactly. And then we have another person back at headquarters that watches over the vehicle, again, remotely, and can take over control at any point in time. So there's really two safety checks. In the long term, we envision that there will always be somebody back at headquarters, at least watching over a few vehicles to make sure that, you know, things like emergency vehicles, any kind of crazy things that can happen out on the road, we can handle. But the safety cyclist will probably get scaled back, and we'll probably have the vehicles out there alone with remote monitoring, hopefully soon.
Accidents can happen. You know, roads are roads. What are you factoring in as far as the possibility or what the cost might be of some kind of an accident?
Yeah. So safety is critically, we're critically focused on safety. And so thinking about what would happen if something bad happened is always front of mind. And so by building a vehicle that's really, really light, what we're really focusing on is making sure that we don't hurt anyone else. Mm-hmm. Turns out that we don't really care if your burrito gets damaged. And so we're building a vehicle that if it got hit, it would crumple. And that if it bumped into anything, which we hope it never does, it would damage itself essentially before doing any damage to anything else. And so we've been thinking a lot about making sure that unlike with a full-size car, you don't need to protect the cargo. And so you can make a thing that is a lot lighter and softer and really deals with running into something in a much different way than a car would.
All right. Tell me how a couple tricky situations I'm wondering about. Left turns. Mm-hmm. And pedestrian zebra crossings.
Yep.
So how does Rev One handle those?
So those are the hardest things for autonomous vehicles. And so, in fact, we've been really lucky that with remote operation, we're able to safely navigate those just the same way you would with a human driver. So there's somebody back home that can see and understand the zebra crossing and all the subtleties around is somebody coming out, just as you would as a real driver in your car. And so that's enabled us to kind of get around some of these challenges that have been really hard for even full-size cars with companies like Waymo and Cruise and that are spending billions of dollars.
Yeah. So, and this is something that is, I don't want to say cheap, but it's an affordable kind of...
So keeping the cost of the vehicle low is really important to make the unit economics work. And so to deliver food that doesn't cost very much, it's actually important to make sure you use something inexpensive. And not just in terms of inexpensive. So the vehicle itself has a bill of materials around $4,000. But the other part of this is thinking about the efficiency and use of resources. So if you think about the way Uber Eats or Grubhub work right now, they use a car that weighs 4,000 pounds and burns fossil fuel to carry something that weighs 4 pounds, like maybe your burrito. And so it ends up that not being an effective use of things that we want to maintain, like greenhouse gases, fuel use, all those kind of things.
So tell us how you're doing the beta testing. Are you doing food deliveries? Are you working with restaurants?
Yeah, so we have two restaurant partners right now in Ann Arbor. So we have Miss Kim and then Belly Deli. And they've been great. We didn't pick two Asian fusion restaurants intentionally, but we ended up with two. And they've been amazing partners helping us test all of this. But we're doing end-to-end deliveries now. So we have people ordering. The food gets picked up. And then it's going to their homes. And so we're doing a handful of deliveries every day with each vehicle. And the restaurants have been great, helping us iron out a lot of the challenges that are different about what it is like to have a human do this versus a robot. One of the big things that sort of was not intuitive, but we probably could have predicted, is making sure that the human process of somebody coming out and interfacing with the vehicle is smooth. And so we're working to give better information about where the vehicle is. And so right now, it's going to send you not just that it's arrived, but also a specific location as to where it is, and even a photo from its camera so you can see on your street where it's sitting. And then you come outside and it has a code, and then you pop the code in and the door actually pops open just like a trunk would, and then you take your food out.
Then you take your food.
Yeah.
So how long do you think it'll take to move past beta and really ramp up this business?
So we have a plan to expand here in Michigan over the next 18 months, but also to be in two additional cities. And so I'm hoping this winter that, in fact, we will be able to open up to a much wider audience here in Ann Arbor and then begin to expand to additional cities. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to go from a pilot group of probably around 20 to probably a group of around a couple hundred, and then keep growing from there. So we're really limited by the number of robots right now, and so we're trying to build more as fast as we can.
Matt Johnson Robertson, co-founder and CEO of Refraction AI. It's the company making Rev1. He's also a robotics professor at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.